Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit continues his discipleship series entitled Encountering God from the Book of Psalms.
I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the Book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 90 this morning. For those of you that are guests with us, we have been working through a series this semester entitled Encountering God. And the way that we come to know God is we come to know God by His Spirit through His Word. And the book of Psalms specifically was written as a hymnal where we sing and worship to God. And so there is an encountering of God as we read these Psalms. And so we have a select number of Psalms we're looking at studying this semester. And I hope that you have been blessed by the Word, and I hope that today will be an encouragement to you as we look at Psalm chapter 90. I'd like to read the entire Psalm this morning, and then we'll look at it in its details and the content of it today. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish Thou it. As we read this morning, the title of this psalm is called A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. So it's very clear the person who wrote this psalm, that is Moses. Now, Moses lived 1,400 years before Christ, and he lived 400 years before King David, who wrote most of the psalms. So what we know about this psalm is that it's the oldest of all the psalms, and it makes Moses the first composer of sacred hymnody. And the title here calls Moses the man of God. Why? If you go through the Old Testament, you'll find 6 other times spread out through the Old Testament where Moses is called the man of God. Why? Well, because he was the mediator. He's the one that stood between God and the children of Israel, and he did 2 things. He prayed for them, and secondly, he invoked or he asked God to bless them. So right off the bat, we learn something about a man of God, and that is he is always distinguished as a man of prayer. Without a doubt, one of the hardest things in life to do consistently is to pray consistently. And so Moses is called a man of prayer. So question then is, what was then this psalm, or what was it that Moses was praying about? Because it is a prayer, and he's praying for the children of Israel, and he's specifically praying for them that they will learn something very important about life. And what is the life lesson he wants them to learn? Well, it's something that obviously Moses had learned. If you're divide up Moses' life into three segments of 40 years, because he lived 120 years, the first 40 years, he lived and grew up in the land of Egypt. He was educated there. He learned the ways of the world. And after 40 years of being in Egypt, he came out and said, I'm somebody. God said, well, I can't use you. And so for the next 40 years, he put him on the backside of the desert and he learned the ways of himself. He learned about himself. And at the end of 40 years, at the age of 80 years old, he said, I'm nobody. God said, well, I can use you now. And God took a nobody who thought he was a somebody and God used him. He led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to bring them into the land of Canaan. But in those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, what he learned is he learned the ways of God. And in the end, he learned that God was everything. For all of us, we all start out thinking we're somebody. We realize we're nobody, but that's not where you want to stay. You want to realize God is everything. And so what Moses wanted the children of Israel to learn, and what he wants us to learn, is after being in the wilderness for 40 years, what should have been a short journey from Egypt to the land of Israel turned into a 40-year death march. And the reason why is because of the people's sin and disobedience. And the lesson that Moses wanted them to learn, and he wants us to learn, is that we should learn to live our life purposefully in light of eternity. Eternity is right here. It's not far away from any of us. And so therefore, we need to live in light of that eternity. The great American theologian Jonathan Edwards prayed it this way. He said, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Help me to live in a temporary world in a way that I live with an eternal perspective. And so that's what Psalm 90 is all about. Moses setting forth an eternal perspective, and he does it with three key truths. And I want us to notice those truths this morning. Number one, the first truth is that he learned is that God is eternal. Notice what he says in verses 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The psalm begins with unfathomable truths that God is eternal. God existed in eternity past. God created all that exists in the world present today, and God will continue to exist long after the world is gone. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Only God is eternally constant. Now, by way of contrast, Moses and the children of Israel lived in a constant state of change for 40 years in the wilderness. And they lived in this constant upheaval, this flux. And there were two things that they experienced over and over in the wilderness. Number one, they packed up their tents on a regular basis to move because they did not live in a house. And secondly, they attended lots of funerals. For over a 40-year period of time, 600,000 people, those that were over 20 years old and upwards who came out of the land of Egypt, never got into the land of Canaan, and they died in the wilderness. And during this period of instability, Moses stated that the only thing that gave him a feeling of home. Don't you love the word home? I love the word home. When my son Michael was a little boy, we would go to church every night because of our revival meetings. And when the service was over with, he'd often look at his mother and say, Mommy, can I go home? How many of you are looking forward to going home, sleeping in your bed, having access to your own private bathroom, being able to eat your mother's home cooking? There's something wonderful about home, why it breeds in us a sense of security and stability. And what did Moses say? He learned something. And that is, in the ever-changing world that he constantly lived in, he learned that the only place that he felt at home was with the presence of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. For 29 years, our family traveled around the country and we lived in church parking lots. Every Saturday, we would pick up, move our home, and go to the next church parking lot. And so over and over and over and over, it was just consistently inconsistent. And we learned something and we discovered something, that where we felt most at home was in the presence of the Lord. Because here's the beautiful thing. The Lord that Moses experienced now 3,400 years ago, that exact same presence has not changed. The presence of the Lord can be with us. How important it is that we learn that the Lord is our dwelling place. So the first thing he learned is that God is eternal. But then the second thing he learned is that we are temporal. Moses portrays the sobering reality of the frailty of our own existence. And he made a number of statements here. First of all, he tells us that our destiny is quite humble. Look at verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. Some have suggested that the historical background to Psalm 90 actually are the events in the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers. What happened in Numbers? Well, first of all, Moses' sister died, Miriam. Later on, his brother Aaron died, who was older than Moses. And then third, Moses sinned against God by striking the rock twice out of anger towards the children of Israel. And God said, because of your disobedience, you cannot enter into the land of Canaan. So in an essence, Numbers chapter 20 is a chapter about dying. And Moses learned something. That is this, that all of us are under the judgment of God. We are all under a curse, and that curse is death. Everybody here is going to face God's judgment and death, rich and poor, famous and obscure, illiterate and intellectual, humanitarian and criminal. All of us are going to end up decomposing 6 feet underground. Genesis chapter 2 says it this way, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You could say it this way, our original composition, what we're made up of, is dirt. Our final destination is dirt. And the best description of our lives is that we are dirt. That's pretty humbling, our ultimate destiny. But not only did he learn that our destiny is humble, but he said our lifespan is brief. Notice Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Moses contrasts God's perspective on time with our viewpoint. Obviously, the way we look at it and the way God looks at it is not one and the same. Everything God sees is smaller in size and shorter in time. For example, when God sees the population of the earth, how does he describe them? Isaiah 40:15, behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Take an eyeglass, little shindig thing, squeeze it, get a little water in it, go find a bucket and squeeze it. So one drop comes out, boom, hits the bottom of the dry bucket. That's the whole world to God. Similarly, in God's eyes, 1,000 years are like a day that has already passed, or a four-hour watch in the night. What's the point? When you're young, time moves slow. You know, you come to Bob Jones, and in one way, you go through it, and you graduate, and you go, wow, that was really fast. But you fail to forget that some days seem like forever and ever, and class is way too slow. And you can't wait to the weekend. And everything moves slow when you're young, but in reality, the older you get, time moves at warp speed. Our lifespan is brief. And then notice 30 said, our death is swift. He says in verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening it is cut down and withereth. You know, life always ends suddenly. No matter how old someone gets, when they die, it's always a shock. It's always surprising, and it's always sad. Moses uses three natural images to depict how quick death is. He said, death is like a flood. Thou carriest them away as a flood. In the land of Israel, one of the most dangerous threats to human life is a flash flood if you're walking in a dry riverbed called a wadi. Death is like a sudden flood. Back when I was a student in college in 1977, was my senior year, I remember clearly hearing about the tragedy that took place on Toccoa Falls Bible College campus. Toccoa Falls Bible College was flooded out when the earthen dam of Toccoa Falls, which is located right above the college, so here's the dam and here's the college below, that dam broke. It sent a wall of water 30 feet high crashing onto the campus. It destroyed 9 faculty homes and took 37 lives. Most of them were from the college, many students. And the sad thing is they didn't even know it happened because they were asleep. It was at night when it took place. Death is so sudden, it's like a flood. Then secondly, he said, life is like a dream when you're asleep. He said, they are as a sleep. Have you ever noticed that when you're sleeping and you're having dreams, they just seem to be so real? We can be so totally engaged in the fantasy of our dream, and then suddenly we wake up to realize it was just a dream. And the crazy thing is that though the dream at the moment seems so real, when it's all over with, you can't even remember what you dreamed. Life is like that. Think about it. People are born, people live, people die, and people don't even remember that you ever lived. Most of you sitting here this morning can't even tell me the names of your great-grandparents. Grandparents, yes. Great-grandparents, no. How quick does a generation come and a generation go? You have the tendency to think that this is the only reality there is, but there have been scores of generations that have preceded us who lived just like you and experienced in many ways the same things you've experienced, and now they're gone. Life is like a dream. And then 30 says, life is like grass. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes. It grows up. In the evening, it cuts down and it withers. During the winter rains in the land of Israel, a very light covering of grass will pop up on the Judean hills. It's actually pretty cool to see it. However, the lifespan of the grass is very short, for when the Middle Eastern sun hits the grass, it suddenly withers away. Spurgeon said it this way, the history of grass is this. It is sown, it is grown, it is blown, it is mown, and it is gone. And the history of man is not much more. We are all like grass. What is he saying? He's saying that our death is swift. And then finally, he says our judgment is just. We actually get what we deserve. He's saying that the Jewish people received a firsthand experience of God's just judgment in the wilderness. A whole generation was buried in the desert sand because of its sin. Moses learned something. Nobody gets away with sin. Now, I'm deeply grateful for the student body here at Bob Jones University, but I want to remind you that this is a student body of saved sinners. My emphasis is on sinners. And some of you sin all the time, and you think you get away with it. May I assure you, listen to me very carefully. Open up the two ears that God gave you. You don't get away with sin. Nobody. I don't get away with sin. You don't get away with sin. You think like God doesn't know it? Do you live your life as if somehow God doesn't really exist and all of this isn't really for real and you're living in a dream world and the real world is that you're sinning thinking you can get away with it? You can't. Moses says, we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The Lord never allowed the Israelites to forget their sin. Idolatry, rebellion, immorality, complaining. They were reminded daily of God's judgment for what they had done. The children of Israel were well aware that they were under a death sentence. And Moses mentions the length of our lives. He says, our days are as 70. What does that mean? Score is 20 years, 60, 10, that's 70. He says it this way, as for the days of our years, in them are 70 years. That's about our lifespan. Some people might make it to 80. If you eat more tofu, maybe 82. We have enough strength to work for a few years. We get old. We can't escape it. And suddenly we fly away. Why? Because we're all terminal. Why is this? Because of God's righteous curse upon sin. The fact of death is a fact of sin. Few people understand God's anger against sin. And that is why that this verse teaches us not to waste time. Time is not a commodity to flippantly use, that we only have so much time. I remember when I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was 19 years old and made conscientious commitments to follow the Lord and graduated from college 1978. 25 years later, I went back to my 25th college reunion, and I remember 25 years had passed by. It's like, wow. I was 47 years old. And I remember cruising around campus thinking of the decisions I made, remembering so much. It seemed like yesterday, it was 25 years ago, and this fall we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. 40 years ago, I graduated from college. Wow, you're old. I'm not old. I don't think old. But some days I feel old. Why? Because of life. Our lifespan is so short, and so therefore, what should we do? We should make the most of our time. I used to walk by the chapel every day, and etched in granite on our chapel were the words from Ecclesiastes 12:1, where it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And I would read it every day, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. You think you have a long time? Do you think that tomorrow is going to come and you'll be able to do what you want to do? No, life is short. That's why you need to be saved now. That's why you need to devote your life to God now. That's why you need to commit your time and your future to God now, putting everything in God's hand. Why? Because we are all temporal. And that leads me to the final point this morning, and really the last truth that I think Moses is wanting us to learn, and that is prayer is essential. Prayer is to the soul what air is to the body. We can't live without it. As a Christian, you can't live without prayer. In verse 3, God calls man to return to him. In verse 13, the psalmist calls on God to return to man. That's what we do when we pray. We say, oh Lord, we're asking God to come to us. And what is it that Moses prayed for? Three things. Number one, he prayed for mercy. God's people had suffered a long time under God's chastening hand, and Moses wondered aloud, how long, O Lord, will this continue? God had made a covenant with his people, Abraham. And that covenant was backed by God's own faithfulness and God's own love. And so he said, return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. God, be merciful to us. You know, if God wasn't merciful to us over our daily sins, where would we be? How many of you have taken 1 John 1:9 and said, God, you have promised to forgive me of my sins if I confess them. Aren't you glad that God still forgives his sinful people? Pray for mercy. Pray God to cleanse me. Then secondly, he said, pray for joy. He said, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What does it mean to be joyful? It means to find your full satisfaction in the Lord. It is an internal joy that God gives us at the moment of our salvation. It's the well of water springing up in us that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 4. It is the life of the Spirit and the soul of man. It is the communion that God gives us. Make us glad. Lord, in the midst of our sadness, give us gladness. Restore our joy as a sign of restored fellowship. Pray for joy. It's not wrong to pray for joy. God, give me your joy. I want to find satisfaction in you alone. Sometimes in a hurried and busy morning, I'll sit down and I feel rushed in reading my Bible. And I say, Lord, I need you. What am I saying? God, I need your joy. I need your presence. Lord, I want you. And then finally, he prayed for blessing. Verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord or the beauty of our Lord, our God, be upon us and establish thou the work of our hands. The wilderness was a hard place. However, God did something in them that changed them forever, and that is in the wilderness, God created within them a passionate desire to be in the place of God's blessing. Let me make it real simple. I just want to be in the place where God blesses. Lord, I don't want to stray away from you. Lord, keep me from straying away. Lord, I want to live under the spigot of your blessing. The desire is seen in Moses' prayer for God to do his work. And what he was simply saying is this, Lord, fulfill your will for your own glory through my life. He just kind of came to the bottom line. Lord, fulfill your will. Do what you want to do through my life and do it in such a way as you will receive glory. And Moses finishes with a prayer for the beauty of the Lord to be upon us. It is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing to be in a place of God's favor and blessing. And so Psalm 90 is saying, live your life, live today. You don't have tomorrow, no guarantees. Life is short. And seek God's blessing now. Would you bow your head with me, please, as we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we realize that we do not find rest until we rest in you. Lord, our sins are always before us. God, have mercy on us and forgive us. Lord, you are eternal and unchanging. Our lives are brief and we're consumed, Lord, by death. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to use our days to fulfill your work for your glory in this world. Lord, fill us with your joy. Bless us with your presence. Make the work that we do last. Prosper us, Lord, as we serve you. And help us to do it, Lord, till the end of our lives. May we honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University. Thank you for listening to The Daily Platform. Please come visit our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, and see how God is working in the lives of our students. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.